So we're continuing chapter 6 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And I believe they just, the kids were all hanging out in the room, and all of a sudden they saw a house elf enter. So, except for the filthy rag tied like a loincloth around its middle, it was completely naked. It looked very old. Its skin seemed to be several times too big for it. And though it was bald, like all house elves, there was a quantity of white hair growing out of its large, bat-like ears. Its eyes were a bloodshot and watery gray, and its fleshy nose was large and rather stout-like. The elf took absolutely no notice of Harry and the rest. Acting as though it could not see them, it shuffled hunchbacked, slowly and doggedly, toward the far end of the room, muttering under its breath, all the while in a hoarse, deep voice like a bullfrog. "Smells like a drain and criminal to boot, and she's no better, nasty old blood trader with her brats messing up my mistress's house. Oh, poor mistress, if she knew the scum they'd let in her house. What would she say to old creature? Oh, the shame of it. Mudbloods and werewolves and traitors and thieves, a poor old creature, what can he do?" "Hello, creature," said Fred very loudly, closing the door with a snap. The house elf froze in his tracks, stopping muttering, and then gave a very pronounced and unconvincing start of surprise. "Creature did not see, young master," he said, turning around and bowing to Fred. Still facing the carpet, he added, perfectly audibly, "Nasty little brat of a blood trader it is." "Sorry," said George, "didn't catch that last bit." "Creature said nothing," said the elf, with a second bow to George, adding in a clear undertone, "And there's its twin, unnatural little beasts they are." Harry didn't know whether to laugh or not. The elf straightened up, eyeing them all very malevolently, apparently convinced that they could not hear him as he continued to mutter. "Oh, and there's the mudblood, standing all bold and brass. Oh, if my mistress knew, oh, how she'd cry. And there's a new boy, creature doesn't know his name. What is he doing here? Creature doesn't know." "This is Harry, creature," said Hermione tentatively. "Harry Potter." The creature's pale eyes widened, and he muttered faster and more furiously than ever. "The mudblood is talking to creature as though she's my friend. If creature's mistress saw him in such company, oh, what would she say?" "Don't call her a mudblood," said Ron and Ginny together, very angrily. "It doesn't matter," Hermione whispered. "He's not in his right mind. He doesn't know what he's..." "Don't kid yourself, Hermione. He knows exactly what he's saying," said Fred, eyeing creature with great dislike. Creature was still muttering, his eyes on Harry. "Is it true? Is it Harry Potter? Creature can see the scar. It must be true. That's the boy who stopped the Dark Lord. Creature wonders how he did it." "Don't we all, creature?" said Fred. "What do you want, anyway?" George asked. Creature's huge eyes darted onto George. "Creature's cleaning," he said evasively. "A likely story," said a voice behind Harry. Sirius had come back. He was glowering at the elf from the doorway. The noise in the hall had abated. Perhaps Mrs. Weasley and Mundungus had moved their argument down into the kitchen. At the sight of Sirius, Creature flung himself into a ridiculously low bow that flattened his snout-like nose on the floor. "Stand up straight," said Sirius impatiently. "Now what are you up to?" "Creature is cleaning," the house elf repeated. "Creature lives to serve the noble house of Black." "And it's getting blacker every day. It's filthy," said Sirius. "Master always liked his little joke," said Creature, bowing again, and continuing in an undertone. "Master was a nasty, ungrateful swine who broke his mother's heart." "My mother didn't have a heart, Creature," Sirius snapped. "She kept herself alive out of pure spite." Creature bowed again and then said, "Whatever Master says," and then muttered furiously, "Master's not fit to wipe slime from his mother's boots. Oh, my poor mistress. What would she say if she saw Creature serving him? Oh, how she hated him. What a disappointment he was." "I asked what you were up to," said Sirius coldly. "Every time you show up pretending to be cleaning, you sneak something off to your room so we can't throw it out." "Creature would never move anything from its proper place in Master's house," said the elf, then muttered very fast. "Mistress would never forgive Creature if tapestry was thrown out. 7 centuries it's been in the family. Creature must save it. Creature will not let her master and blood traitors and the brats destroy it." I thought it might be that, said Sirius, casting a disdainful look at the opposite wall. She'll have put another permanent sticking charm on the back of it, I don't doubt. But if I can get rid of it, I certainly will. Now go away, creature. It seemed that creature did not dare disobey a direct order. Nevertheless, the look he gave Sirius as he shuffled out past him was redolent of deepest loathing, and he muttered all the way out of the room. Comes back from Azkaban, ordering creature around. Oh, my poor mistress. Would she say if she saw the house now? Scum living at her, treasures thrown out. She swore he was no son of hers. He's back. They say he's a murderer, too. Keep muttering, and I will be a murderer, said Sirius irritably, and he slammed the door shut on the elf. Sirius, he's not right in his head, Hermione said pleadingly. I don't think he realizes we can hear him. He's been alone too long, said Sirius, taking mad orders from my mother's portrait and talking to himself like he was always a foul little. You can just set him free, said Hermione hopefully. Maybe. We can't set him free. He knows too much about the Order, said Sirius, curtly. Anyway, the shock would kill him. You suggest to him that he leaves the house, see how he takes it. Sirius walked across the room where the tapestry creature had been trying to protect hung the length of the wall. Harry and the others followed. The tapestry looked immensely old. It was faded and looked as though doxies had knotted in places. Nevertheless, the golden thread with which it was embroidered still glinted brightly enough to show them a sprawling family tree dating back, as far as Harry could tell, to the Middle Ages. Large words at the top of the tapestry read, "The noble and most ancient house of Black. Toujours pure." "You're not on here," said Harry after scanning the bottom of the tree. "I used to be there," said Sirius, pointing at the small round charred hole in the tapestry, rather like a cigarette burn. "My sweet old mother blasted me off after I ran away from home." The creature's quite fond of muttering the story under his breath. "You ran away from home?" "When I was about 16," said Sirius, "I'd had enough." "Where did you go?" asked Harry, staring at him. "Your dad's place," said Sirius. "Your grandparents were really good about it. They sort of adopted me as a second son. Yeah, I camped out at your dad's during the school holidays. And then when I was 17, I got a place of my own. My uncle Alfred had left me a decent bit of gold. He's been wiped off here, too. That's probably why. Anyway, I looked after myself. I was always welcome at Mr. and Mrs. Potter's for Sunday lunch, though." "But why did you leave?" said Sirius. He smiled bitterly and ran a hand through his long, unkempt hair. "Because I hated the whole lot of them. My parents, with their pure-blood mania, convinced that to be black made you practically royal. My idiot brother, soft enough to believe them." "That's him." Sirius jabbed at the very bottom of the tree at the name Regulus Black. A date of death some 15 years previously followed the date of birth. "He was younger than me," said Sirius. "A much better son, as I was constantly reminded." "But he died," said Harry. "Yeah," said Sirius. "Stupid idiot. He joined the Death Eaters." "You're kidding." "Come on, Harry. Haven't you seen enough of this house to tell you what kind of wizards my family were?" said Sirius testily. "Were your parents Death Eaters as well?" "No, but believe me, they thought Voldemort had the right idea. They were all for the purification of the wizarding race, getting rid of muggleborns and having purebloods in charge. They weren't alone, either. There were quite a few people, before Voldemort showed his true colors, who thought he had the right idea about things. They got cold feet when they saw what he was prepared to do to get power, though. But I bet my parents thought Regulus was the right little hero for joining up at first." "Was he killed by an Auror?" Harry asked, tentatively. "Oh no," said Sirius. "No, he was murdered by Voldemort, or on Voldemort's orders, more likely. I doubt Regulus was ever important enough to be killed by Voldemort in person. From what I found out after he died, he got in so far, then panicked about what he was being asked to do and tried to back out. We don't just hand in your resignation to Voldemort. It's a lifetime of service or death." "Lunch!" said Mrs. Weasley's voice. She was holding her wand high in front of her, balancing a huge tray of sandwiches and cake on its tip. She was very red in the face and still looked angry. The others moved over to her, eager for some food, but Harry remained with Sirius, who had bent closer to the tapestry. "I haven't looked at this for years. There's Phineas Negolas, my great-great-grandfather, see? Least popular headmaster Hogwarts ever had. And Araminta Mellifluga, cousin of my mother's, tried to force through a ministry bill to make muggle hunting legal. And dear old Aunt Elidora, she started the family tradition of beheading house elves when they got too old to carry tea trays. Of course, any time the family produced some halfway decent, they were disowned. I see Tonks isn't on here. Maybe that's why Creature won't take orders from her. He's supposed to do whatever anyone in the family asks him. You and Tonks are related? Harry asked. Oh yeah, her mother, Andromeda, was my favorite cousin, said Sirius, examining the tapestry carefully. No, Andromeda's not on here either. Look. He pointed to another small round burn mark between two names. Bellatrix and Narcissa. Andromeda's sisters are still here because they made lovely, respectable, pure-blood marriages. But Andromeda married a muggle-born, Ted Tonks, so... Sirius mimed the blasting the tapestry with a wand and laughed sourly. Harry, however, did not laugh. He was too busy staring at the names to the right of Andromeda's burn mark. A double line of gold embroidery linked Narcissa Black with Lucius Malfoy, and a single vertical gold line from their names led to the name Draco. You related to the Malfoys? The pureblood families are all interrelated, said Sirius. If you're only going to let your sons and daughters marry purebloods, your choice is very limited. And there are hardly any of us left. Molly and I are cousins by marriage, and Arthur's something like a second cousin once removed. But there's no point in looking for them on here. If there's ever a family of a bunch of blood traitors, it's the Weasleys. But Harry was now looking at the name to the left of Andromeda's burn, Bellatrix Black, which was connected by a double line to Rodolphus Lestrange. Lestrange, Harry said aloud. The name had stirred something in his memory. He knew it from somewhere, but for a moment he couldn't think where, and then, though it gave him an odd creeping sensation in the pit of his stomach. They're in Azkaban, said Sirius shortly. Harry looked at him curiously. Bellatrix and her husband Rodolphus came in with Barty Crouch, Jr., said Sirius in the same brusque voice. Rodolphus' brother, Rebastian, was with them, too. And Harry remembered. He'd seen Bellatrix Lestrange inside Dumbledore's pensive. This strange device in which thoughts and memories could be stored. A tall, dark woman with heavy-lidded eyes, who stood at her trial proclaiming her continued allegiance to Lord Voldemort, her pride that she had tried to find him after his downfall, and her conviction that she would one day be rewarded for her loyalty. You never said she was your... Does it matter that she's my cousin? Snapped Sirius. As far as I'm concerned, they're not my family. She's certainly not my family. I haven't seen her since I was your age, unless you count a glimpse of her coming into Azkaban. You think I'm proud to have relatives like her? Sorry, said Harry quickly. I didn't mean... I was just surprised, that's all. It doesn't matter. Don't apologize, Sirius mumbled at once. He turned away from the tapestry, his hands deep in his pockets. I don't like being back here, he said, staring at the drawing room. I never thought I'd be stuck in this house again. Harry understood completely. He knew how he would feel if forced when he was grown up and thought he was free of the place forever to return and live at number 4 Privet Drive. It's ideal for headquarters, of course, said Sirius. My father put every security measure known to wizard kind on it when he lived here. It's unplottable, so muggles could never come and call, as if they'd have wanted to. And now Dumbledore's added his protection, so you'd be hard to find a safer house anywhere. Dumbledore's secret keeper for the Order, you know. Nobody can find the headquarters unless he tells them personally where it is. That note Moody showed you last night, that was from Dumbledore. Sirius gave a short, bark-like laugh. If my parents could see it, the use it was being put to now, well, my mother's portrait should give you some idea. He scowled for a moment, then sighed. I wouldn't mind if I could just get out occasionally and do something useful. I have asked Dumbledore whether I can escort you to your hearing, as Snuffles, obviously, so I can get you a bit of moral support. What do you think? Harry felt as though his stomach had sunk through the dusty carpet. He had not thought about the hearing once since dinner the previous evening. In the excitement of being back with the people he liked best, of hearing everything that was going on, it had completely flown his mind. At Sirius's words, however, the crushing sense of dread returned to him. He stared at Hermione and the Weasleys, all tucking into their sandwiches, and thought how he would feel if they went back to Hogwarts without him. Don't worry, said Sirius. Harry looked up, and realized that Sirius had been watching him. I'm sure they're going to clear you. There's definitely something in the International Statute of Secrecy about being allowed to use magic to save your life. But if they do expel me, said Harry quietly, can I come back in here and live with you? Sirius smiled sadly. We'll see. I'd feel a lot better about the hearing if I knew I didn't have to go back to the Dursleys, Harry pressed him. They must be bad if you prefer this place, said Sirius gloomily.
Hurry up, you two, and there won't be any food left, Mrs. Weasley called.
Sirius heaved another great sigh, cast a dark look at the tapestry, and he and Harry went to join the others. Maybe we'll stop there. And we'll finally finish chapter 6 next time. I hope you like that, kitten. I love you so much. Hope you have a good night's sleep. And I'll see you tomorrow. Sleep well, kitten. Love you.